Morning, everyone, and welcome along to our memorial meeting this morning. So Brother Mark Kerr is going to exhort us, and we're going to read as a foundation for that from John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17.
Well, good morning, fellow brothers and sisters and young people. Currently, we live in a world where people are thrilled by the invention of something new created by humanity, such as little things like a bow and arrow, a chariot, to much larger things like the pyramids of Giza. And in more recent times, say within the last 50 years, the Sony Walkman, GPS, the internet, CDs, DVDs, Bluetooth, smartphones, 3D printers, fitness trackers, and the list goes on. But amongst all of this is the one thing man didn't make, and that's mankind. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, David says in Psalm 139. David precurses this statement in verse 13, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb." The knitting and formation of the human body is the most elaborate creation our God has made. It's so intricate, precise, breathtaking and sophisticated that man cannot even fathom the complexities involved with such a creation. Our body is made of many parts which can perform many, many things, such as breathing, thinking, listening, talking, singing, clapping, touching, walking, running, and so on. With so many parts to our body, there is one part of the body that almost everyone is born with, and that is feet. Now, to kick things off, I found some seemingly innocent idioms about feet. To have a foot in both camps, to put one's foot in one's mouth, sweep someone off their feet, to have cold feet, the shoes on the other foot, get your feet wet, a foot in the door, be on the front foot, to put your foot down, to find your feet, to stand on your own two feet, and to put your best foot forward. And that list goes on. One of the biggest accomplishments early on in life is to take your first steps as a child. I doubt any of us can remember when we took our first steps, but some of us might be able to remember when our child or a sibling did. It truly is a great achievement for such a little person. Feet really are an important part of our body and how it functions. Our feet take us where we want to go. They speak of our lives and where we are headed. They are one part of the body that is connected to the earth in almost everything we do. One of the greatest steps in life is to make the commitment through baptism into Christ. When we're baptized, we are cleansed from head to foot, which signifies the washing away of the old self. Come with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Here Jesus is asked by Simon the Pharisee to join him in his home for a meal, verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet and her tears with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." The woman of the city exposed a great contrast between Simon's indelible pride and her actions towards Jesus. Her actions were so defined that her sincerity was unmistakable and absolute. Now, Jesus' feet would have been very dusty and dirty after walking for many days, and they would have needed quite a wash. It's quite possible the woman, having long guarded her deepest pain, standing before the Lord, finally broke her silence, allowing her tears to wash away the heavy anguish of her sins in a moment of overwhelming relief. Then, by drying his feet with her hair, she beautifully demonstrated her absolute humility and devotion before her Lord, showing a deep affection for him by kissing his feet. And finally, the giving of her most valuable possession, costly ointment, as an offering of pure devotion for pouring it onto the Lord's feet. Simon the Pharisee was consumed with his own importance and his misguided love for the law. He failed in showing basic hospitality, a welcoming kiss, and oil for the head for our Lord. Verse 44. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." This encounter illustrates to us how we can see the worst in those around us, like Simon the Pharisee did. But it also embodies the grace and mercy of our Lord shown to the sinful woman and his final words he says to her in verse 48. He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Meeting every week to have our sins forgiven is a big part of our dedication to our Lord, but it doesn't stop there. Similarly to the woman's actions, we must continue to show love to everyone, though not necessarily by literally washing each other's feet. Come with me to Luke chapter 17. In verse 11, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, where he decides to enter a village. Verse 12. "And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole.'" Here our Lord makes a point of the one leper who turned back and shouted out, glorifying God and bowing down at Jesus' feet, thanking him. Now, I'm not sure if the remaining 9 lepers were Galileans or not, but it would appear there was only one Samaritan amongst the group. Was the Samaritan faithful? Yes. Were the remaining 9 faithful? Yes. Was the Samaritan thankful? Absolutely. Being faithful is staying loyal to our Heavenly Father throughout the great moments in life and also during the tough trials we encounter. Bowing down to our Lord's feet and showing reverence, as the Samaritan did, demonstrates thanks and glorifies our God. This doesn't mean we need to kneel down when we meet here at Hyde Park. Displaying our thanks or glorifying our Heavenly Father can be like offering to pick up one of our members and bring them here to Hyde Park for an event, sending flowers or a meal to someone who you know is doing it tough, even playing the piano or cello, or standing at the entrance to our hall welcoming those in. And some of the more simpler things, like locking up the hall after Bible class, or putting the bins out on the curbside. Now, at first, I thought I could offer some words of encouragement this morning without mentioning my favourite hobby, but it has a way of revealing many lessons closely related within Scripture. Now, there's a beach on York Peninsula that's called Browns Beach, which is in the Innes National Park. Thankfully, I've been able to go fishing there a few times with several friends and our sons for a fishing weekend. To get to this great little fishing spot, you need to walk approximately 1 kilometre along the beach from the car park. After much fun catching several salmon, the sun begins to set and we begin the trek back to the car park. Now, 1 kilometre doesn't seem too far to walk, or does it? After the first 100 metres in soft sand, it becomes increasingly difficult to walk in. Your feet sink with every step and your strength begins to wane. Your mind begins to think, I should have given the tackle bag or bucket to Barge or Tim. But no, I have to push on. As I continue to walk, I start placing my steps into the footprints of the others ahead of me. It was great. Doing this alleviated the pain and effort of each step and made my walk so much easier. Our Lord Jesus Christ has come before us and has laid his footsteps for us to follow in. And having the greatest guidebook to refer to gives us guidance on how we should emulate this in life. Proverbs chapter 4 puts it quite simply in verse 25 from the NIV. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. In keeping focus by looking straight ahead and not letting distractions pull us sideways, helps us think carefully about where we want to walk. This will make our actions sure and true, enabling us not to stray to the right or the left, keeping us away from harm or trouble. In conclusion, let's look back at this morning's reading in John chapter 13. Here our Lord is with his disciples during the Last Supper and he begins to wash their feet. And Simon Peter questions his Lord as to why, verse 5. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus explains to Simon Peter in the following verses that they will understand later and not in this particular moment. After the Lord finished washing their feet and resumed his place, he said to them in verse 12, When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. The Lord makes a point to the disciples here that he is their Lord and teacher, and by washing their feet, highlights the example of his actions and encourages them to wash one another's feet. Jesus is preparing his disciples for the road ahead. Those who follow him are called to love one another through humble service. Instead of using his authority to be served, Jesus uses it to serve his disciples. He shows that the importance of showing humility and to serve everyone, no matter of their importance or stature. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. On the table before us this morning are the symbols that represent the Lord's sacrifice. Not only did he lay his life down for his friends, but he also performed one of the lowliest duties someone could do by washing another's feet. And in doing so, taught us that washing one another's feet shows humility, love through action, and that we should serve each other in love. During the time that remains until our Lord's return, let's focus on our Saviour's example of washing the disciples' feet and to strive to wash the feet of others on our walk together towards the kingdom to come. Thank you.